We're back on Downtown's 431. Our next guest starred for 11 seasons as Roz Doyle on the Smash TV series Frasier. We are so happy to welcome Perry Gilpin back to the show this afternoon. Perry, thanks for joining us again.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Loved having you on last time. Love following you on Twitter. You don't hold anything back, and we like that a lot.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like that. I don't. I should temper it a little bit, maybe.
No, not at all. Not at all. Hey, also, later on in our conversation, our friend Mark Freeman from The Hollywood Reporter will be joining us to talk a little Modern Family, because we'll discuss a connection between the shows a bit later. But I wanted to say how much I enjoyed last week when all of you got together online for Stars in the House, a little online Frasier reunion, and it's clear that you still have a tremendous bond between everybody from that show.
Oh, I knew we did, and then when I everyone kept saying that, right? You know what you're saying. People wrote that and said that, and so I just kept going back and looking and saying, what are they seeing? And then I could see it. It's just like we were just thrilled to see each other. We just really were.
And it was really,
I miss those people so much, and they're so dependable. You know, they're just solid, everybody. And, you know, everybody just, I guess we have, you know, we just know each other so well. We almost can guess what kind of thing is going to come out of somebody else's mouth, you know, what their take on things. And we're still excited to hear it, I guess. You know, it's really fun.
I think often the mark of a great show, to me, one of the marks of a great show, is when you have an ensemble where everyone is allowed to have their moments. And that starts with having a lead like a Kelsey Grammer, who appears to be the kind of person, as all the greats have been, who was not unhappy to let other people get the laugh.
No, that is the secret, I think, of the show from the very beginning, was that he was, he is just as, he'll set you up, and he'll make your setup for him even funnier. You know, he's just very generous in that way. He misses no opportunity to make it funny or make it poignant or make it better, you know, and he's happy to share the load. And, he wants you to. I mean, sometimes it's like he wants you to be up to his level. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
and
also,
so he prompts you, he challenges you and makes you better, you know.
It's also clear, too, that everybody in the cast was very welcoming to those guest actors, that they became a part of the family as soon as they showed up for a table read.
Oh, yeah, they were, very much so. And a lot of people, like I had met Harriet in a funny way the night that I left New York and decided to go to, move to Los Angeles. I was very torn. But I just couldn't, this is so many years ago, but I didn't want to leave New York. I just felt like I had to go try to get work. You know, there just wasn't much work in New York for someone as inexperienced as I was. So a friend of mine was doing a Man and Superman with Harriet and David Burney at the Roundabout. And I went to see it, and I went and I said, Michael knew I was coming. And so Michael introduced me to Harriet that night, and she was sort of saying, why are you going to New York? You know, the actor conversation, and we just talked to her. She says, well, you should do very well there, in LA. And it was just, I never forgot it, because she was very supportive, And so then years later, when we got to work together, I felt like she was an old friend. And Kelsey and Harriet had gone to Juilliard together. And so they had they'd known each other for a long, long time. David knew Harriet, Tom McGowan is married to one of my closest friends from Dallas, from when we were in theater together at Dallas Theater Center. We were in class together for 10 years. And she's from Dallas and he's from New Jersey. So I don't even know. I still can't figure out how that happened. So there were just so many connections. Patrick is good friends with a bunch of people I know. And then, of course, Edward, one of the things that happened, do you mind if I just go on and on? I'm sorry.
No, please do. That's why you're here. People can hear me any day.
Okay. I had a cup of tea. There was a show that came through at the Geffen, and it was called Jeffrey. I don't know if you know that show, but it was hilarious. And I think Harriet was in that. But Edward was in that for sure. And so Edward Hibbert. And so, and there were several people from that play that wound up in the regular cast of Frasier. And we all went to see it together. And it was a big hit in L.A. And I think it was a hit before that in New York. So anyway, it's a very funny play. And all those actors came through at one point, if not once, you know, more than once. And so that's how we got to know Edward. And I was surprised he wasn't there. There must have been some kind of conflict because he was, you know, we were so excited. We get the script the night, we taped on Tuesday night, and then usually we have a script in our dressing room by the time we left from shooting that night. You know, so you'd go home and read it, and then you'd come back in the next day around noon and do a table read. And so that night, you know, we'd always go, hey, Edward's coming tomorrow, Harriet's coming tomorrow, Tom's coming tomorrow. Like, we'd be so excited about who was coming the next day.
Well, and I have to think, too, that that stage experience, that theater sensibility that so many of you had a tremendous influence on the way everyone played their characters.
I think you're right. I think it was a huge influence because it was, it was filmed in front of a live audience. So there was that element. And when you're on a show like Modern Family, for instance, that's a single camera. So they could go a long time without seeing each other. Like, the different families might go, you know, they may see each other at the table read, and then they might not see each other till the next table read if their scenes didn't overlap, you know? So, like, you know, Julie Bowen might not see Jesse for the rest of the week because they didn't have any scenes together, you know? But in our situation, when you're doing a four camera, a multi camera, we were together all day when we were rehearsing, and like we had a dressing room upstairs from the stage. So we'd all be up there talking, which is so much what that was like the other day, that Stars in the House. It was just like that, everyone telling stories.
Well, yeah, and Perry, you guys talked a lot on the Stars in the House about the green room and how important that was. Can you explain to people what that meant and what went on there?
Yeah, well, that we moved on to stage 25 after Cheers left. So Cheers shot their last episode, and then 2 weeks, they, you know, took that set to the Smithsonian or wherever it went, and then 2 weeks later the Frasier set was built and put there. So that 11-year-old show ended and a new show came in, but it was all the same crew and all the same everything, but David and Jane and me and John, we were the only new people there. So that was really interesting. But the green room, so this was on a soundstage that just happened to have a set of stairs that went upstairs. And they say, and I think this is not hearsay, I think this is true, that the upstairs part of that soundstage was Ricky and Desi and Lucy's apartment.
Oh, wow.
And I think they shot on 25 as well. So they, when they were at the studio, they would live there. So our conference room where we'd have our table read and all the rooms upstairs, from that, you know, were their apartment. So when you go up, there were several ways to get upstairs, but if you go upstairs to our dressing rooms, you have the big makeup and costume shop on your right, and then you walk down the hall, and there was a hallway with tiny little dressing rooms, and then at the end of the hallway was a common room that I had George Wendt's old dressing room. And, you know, everybody had, you know, they had just left, you know, so they had used it that way too. And then we just came in and John just parked himself. There was a chair that faced down the hallway and that was John's chair. So he was always there. And then there were a couple of couches, another chair. So there's pictures of the cast in the green room. And as the seasons went by, our line producer, Maggie, would have these little shots of the show framed, and they covered all the walls up there by the end of the 11th year. There was every inch of those walls was covered in those little picture framed, you know, stills. So But the good part of the green room was that it's just where we congregated. And so, like, if Jane and David had a scene together and they were downstairs, me and John would be in there. Kelsey was usually on the set, or he was in the green room with us, but less because he was more, you know, producing the show and in the star of the show. But, you know, you'd be up there with whoever wasn't on stage waiting to get called down to do your scene, unless you wanted to go down and watch for some reason. But then also that's where the guests would come. And so they'd be there and, you know, all of a sudden they realized, oh, there's a room, I can go and sit down and, you know, I don't have to go be by myself. I can hang out, you know? And so we'd get to know people, and we all felt, as you would in most theater, that the more comfortable our guests were, the better they would do and the better the show would be and the better we would all do. And it would just only be good. And plus it would be fun. So everyone was very polite, and we just had the best time. And everybody, this is bad, everybody smoked, and people would come and go, you can smoke here? And we're like, yeah, you can.
We're talking with Perry Gilpin here on Downtown, and also another guest joining us, and we're happy to welcome him back to the program, our friend Mark Freeman from The Hollywood Reporter, who did a wonderful oral history of Frasier not too many years ago and is about to release a brand new book on the history of Modern Family. Mark, welcome back.
Well, hello, and hi, Perry.
Hi, Mark.
What a fun meeting we've got with everybody here. And Mark, we wanted to talk and have you on to discuss the connections, because there are a number of connections between Modern Family and Frasier.
That is correct. The two biggest being probably Christopher Lloyd, who's one of the co-creators, and Jeff Greenberg, who was casting director.
And Steve Levkan.
Perry knows both of them intimately.
Yeah, can you talk about Chris Lloyd and Steve Levitan and Jeff Greenberg, Perry, and what they meant to you and to the cast of both shows?
Yes, well, I mean, Chris Lloyd introduced me to my husband and his wife, Arlene. They introduced me to my husband. So, you know, I'm very grateful to them. And Steve Levitan I've worked on Wings with Steve and Chris, so I've known them for many, many years, and my husband is very close with Steve Levitan as well. And so, you know, they're not only coworkers, but they're really dear friends and incredibly talented ones. So that they mean a lot. And then Jeff is my champion. He helped me get many, many jobs and supported, you know, liked my work and brought me in and helped me make things work. And is that way for a lot of actors. But I will always love Jeff, because I wouldn't have been on Frasier without him. And that was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
And Mark, we were talking with Perry earlier about the bond between the cast members on Frasier, and I have to think the same thing exists as you've gotten to know the people involved with Modern Family.
Yeah, my experience has been with these oral history articles, and definitely with this book, that shows that have a history, meaning probably at least 5-6 years of people spending that much amount of time, or as someone from the Modern Family book said, you spend more time with cast and crew than you do your own family, that you go through a lot, the natural aspects and cycles of life, of birth, death, marriage, divorce, movement, changing. And then on top of that, you just are doing something that is creating art, and you're doing it together, and you're contributing, and everyone has a voice. And I think in the end, what you get is, as somebody from the crew had told me, this true family. So it's a Modern family in which sometimes you get mad at each other, but you love each other at the end of the day, and you're all working towards the same goal. And so not every families aren't perfectly neat. And in that sense, Modern Family isn't, but at the same time, being a family, they all love each other and loved working together for 11 plus years.
And another crossover is that, Perry, you had a very memorable guest appearance. Can you talk about your character, Jeannie, when you appeared on Modern Family?
Yes, I got a call. I got a call one day. I think I was in a spin class, and I came out, and I got this call from Jeff going, they want you to come do an episode, and then for some reason I didn't know what it was. I just texted him or something. I was like, yes. And he goes, well, wait, do you want to know what it is? I go, no, I don't. He goes, it's a hooker. And I was like, oh, perfect. So I read it and I loved it, and I love Ty, I love Julie, I love the girls, and Ariel and Sarah, I adore them, and it has been really fun to watch them grow up and on film. But I was so excited to work with Fred Willard because I've never gotten to work with him before. And he used to come by this Fraser set to say hi to John because they were friends. And he was just kind of, he's just one of those people that you run into, and, you know, he's just part of the fabric of Los Angeles. So so I was just so excited. So I went and did it, and not only was it the guy directing it with Steve Levitan, but the guy that was like just sort of the technical director of it is this guy named Jim Hens, who I went to University of Texas with. I had known him forever, had never seen him since. And it was so bizarre. I didn't even know he was out here. So we had a ball that day. It was really, really great. So I came back, and I walked into my school, my kids' elementary school, and the couple that started that school are Jane Leaves' in-laws. Her husband's parents started the school like 40 years ago. So I've known Joel, the head of the school, since they got married. So forever, you know. So I walk in, and Joel goes, oh, Perry, I caught you on Modern Family last night, you know. But there was a guy, one of the teachers at that school, her husband, Phil, is the art director for, Bob's Burgers, which is every bit as risque as that was. And I go, Phil draws Bob's Burgers. You know, I tried to bust him just to take the. But then the thing was that I wasn't sure if my kids would actually see it. But then one of the kids that they went to school with was such a huge Modern Family fan. Little Amanda MTS, she loved it so much that she announced to the class what I was and what I did and what I said. So they got home and they were like, Mom, what did you, I had to explain the whole thing to my children because of that. So, and that's a hard thing to explain to a 10-year-old.
I would think so. And so, Mark, I understand that Perry does make an appearance in your Modern Family book that's coming up soon.
She does. There's a chapter, there's a gazillion chapters, but there's a chapter on guest stars and recurring characters that people mentioned and held dear and wanted to hear from. So Perry's there, Elizabeth Banks, Josh Gad, Matthew Broderick, Benjamin Bratt, Peyton Manning. There's also a Barbara Streisand story, but I did not reach out to Barbara because she's actually not in the episode. It ends up being her voice. She recorded a 20-second bit on her iPhone because they figured they would never be able to get her there in person. But one of the writers, who's a writer from Frasier, incidentally, Jeffrey Richmond, is very good friends with her and used to write her material for her stage performances.
That's amazing. We're talking with Mark Freeman, Perry Gilpin here on Downtown. And Perry, I think it was Mark that actually asked you about this in his wonderful oral history of the show. But you based the character of Roz on a very close personal friend.
Well, yes, I did. I did. And I didn't. The writers didn't know her. But as they started writing, you know, It's interesting when you start to see things. As Mark was saying, it's very intimate. The whole, you start, they're writing for you, you know, and you're like, did you make this up? Or did you talk to someone in my family? I mean, there was one time when they had Bobby Sherman come on, You know, and Bobby Sherman was, I wrote a letter to him when I was 9 years old asking him to marry me. And I meant it with all my heart. I was in love with Bobby Sherman. And they wrote that about Roz. And there was no way for them to know that. There's no way for them to know that. Unless somebody told them, but I could not get that out of them. But so Bobby Sherman came to the show, and I said I couldn't like stop fangirling because it was so real, you know. But then there are other things that are not real, you know, at all, and have nothing to do with you. And I was raised in a very Baptist, religious, you know, restricted, oppressed, you know, situation in Dallas. So there were a lot of things about Roz's freedom that weren't necessarily all me. But I had a really good friend who it was to a T. And so I'd go, okay, this is her. I know exactly what this is. And I've seen it in action. And I'm always like, I always love it. And it cracks me up. And it's what I, you know, it's one of my favorite things about her, her freedom. And it's just like an East Coast woman. I'm sorry. I hope that's not. It's not a Southern woman, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, Perry, everybody wants to know, and maybe there is no answer yet, what is the status of a possible reboot of the show?
It's the same as it's always been. I mean, there's a lot of talk about it, and there's a lot of movement right now. But I think that the main issue for everyone is that it be, you know, as good or better as the original. I don't know if we can do better, but I mean, the goal would be to aim for that because no one wants it not to be, you know? So I think that's what keeps it in limbo a little bit, which is fine with everybody. And I'm sure it's even fine with the audience, you know? But I hope we do it. Some of the things I've heard sound wonderful if it can come to pass. But I think we just all have the very same fears.
And Marcus, for your wonderful book, I know it's going to be wonderful because everything you write is terrific. Your book on Modern Family is due out in mid-May. You'll be back on to talk with us about it. But what's the official publication date?
May 19th.
Well, we'll look forward to that, and we'll have you back on to talk about it as we get closer to that. Mark, thanks so much for checking in with us here during our conversation with Perry, and we'll see you again in a few weeks' time.
That sounds great. Great being here, and bye, Perry.
Bye, Mark.
Bye.
And thank you for coming.
And Perry, thanks to you, as always, for being on with us, and thanks for the suggestion of having Mark on, too. That was great. It's awesome to talk with you again. Love what you're doing on Twitter. We look forward to much more from you, and thanks again for making time for us. Stay safe.
Thank you, Rich. You, too.
Bye-bye now. It's Perry Gilpin with us here on Downtown.